Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to stand. And we're going to read verse 10 down through verse 18. This has been a very interesting week. Been actually an interesting year, hadn't it? And somebody said, I can't hardly wait to get 2020 over. I ain't so sure this might still be the best times we've had in a while. Can I tell you that? Amen. You said the best is yet to come. Hallelujah, it is. But we ain't there yet. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 said, finally. You know what that means, don't you? Now, finally, my brethren, talking to the saints, be strong. Get that? Be what? Oh, can do better than that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Then He gives you how you're going to do that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole, there he says it again, armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice how many of them he said to quench them. How many? All the fiery darts. All the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And be seated. Father, give us divine wisdom this morning. Lord, we need your touch. We need your hand. May we say exactly what we need to say. May we not add anything to it. May it not be our philosophies. May it not be our words. But Lord, I pray you'd show us what we need to say. But Lord, I pray we wouldn't hold back anything that you tell us to say. May we not have a fear of the people. God, may we not have a fear of the society. But God, may we stand in the gap and make up the hedge and speak as the oracles of God. And as we wish we had, we stand in the judgment. Have thine own way. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the glory. Anoint our words. And Lord, help us to say that which is necessary and needful. But Lord, I pray you put that little touch of God and drive it home into the hearts. And Lord, may we see the word in Christ and not this preacher. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you talk to people in the public we got so many people that's so discouraged. I'm talking about church people. I'd understand a worldly person not knowing. But those who claim to know the Lord Jesus are in a turmoil. They come to the place in life that they are so low today. If they look up, they're having to, amen, look up to see the bottom. That's bad, isn't it? And they don't know which way to turn. They don't know who to believe. They don't know what to do. And I want to kind of clear up some things here this morning. The Lord teaches us that we need to put on the whole armor. Not a portion of it. Not one or two little items. But every part that God's got. And He's got several things here. And you can get it all on and not have on the... Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And brother, you can't do nothing. When I was a boy, I had tough feet and I could run across some gravel roads and I could jump out a window on a dirt road. Wouldn't bother me. My feet were so tough. But I can't hardly walk across the carpet now barefooted. Understand? And so if I've got on the whole armor of God and I'm barefooted, and that's where your stand is anyhow, by the way. I mean, listen, you can't stand on needles. Amen. You're going to give in. But now we want to look at this morning. I hear some say, I had a lady I was talking to this week, and she said to me, she said, "Boy, it's scary, ain't it?" I said, "What's scary about it?" She said, "The end of time." And she thinks the end of time's coming any day now. And I said, "Lady, it's not over yet. The Lord has not come yet. The saints of God are going at him. When he takes us out, we're coming back. And when we come back, there's still a little time left." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I began to tell, and she looked, I could just see the marbles running around and around in her head and rattling. She didn't know where in the world I was. Probably labeled me for something I'm not. But she didn't know. I hear another and said, "You know, it looks gloomy." And I thought, "Oh, it looks pretty bright to me." Amen. Now somebody said, "Preacher, you think we're going to have any trouble? What do you think we've got now?" But I wanted to tell you something. The church is not in this thing for smooth sailing. There's some more things going to happen. We're at a place in life, and I just to be honest and straight with you, we're at a place in life right now. Most folks don't know which way we go. They don't even know who we're going to have for president January 20th. They don't know. Nobody can put a finger on who's the president of the United States come January 20th. If Mr. Trump were to get back in, and I'm looking for it. Somebody says, "I don't believe that." Help yourself. I'm going to be a big fool if it ain't. Amen. And what happens? It said if he goes in, what's going on? They're going to tear the streets of America up. And we're going to have all kinds of violence and turmoil. You said, "You really believe that?" "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir." And then if Mr. Biden goes in, I heard somebody yesterday say out in the public, but I've heard this on the news for quite some time, we are at the stage in the set of a civil war in the United States of America. And so we've got such a divided nation. Have you ever seen a more divided nation than we've been living in? You know what the Bible said about a house that's divided? Said it could not stand. That's what the Bible said. You said, "Preacher, you think all this going to settle?" I don't care which one of those two jaybirds you put back in the White House up there. I want you to know it's going to be rough for a few days and a few weeks. It is. And you say, "Well, what you going to do?" Same thing I've been doing. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm depending on Him. I'm following His Word. I'm allowing Him to speak to me. Amen. And so we look at these. I'm not going to get upset and distraught. I'm a part of the church, the bride of Christ. And I'm going to enjoy the goodness of God. And I'm going to saturate myself in it. Amen. Yeah, I believe we're going to have some trials. I believe we're going to have some real rough times. And I'm not talking about tribulation. We're not going through tribulation. Child of God is not going through tribulation. But did you see what he said here? He said here in the Word of God, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And brother, we ain't seen nothing yet. You said the Lord's coming. I thought you said, "Yeah, he is." The Antichrist, he's not been revealed yet. And I preached this the other day. Amen. They talk about the mark of the beast. Have you ever seen so many people talk about the mark of the beast? Mark of the beast. And I've said this so much, I even hate to have to say it again. I hope you don't think I'm hung up on this and can't get off of it. It's just because when I get up to preach it, I can't, amen, get nothing else because God given me this to say, and I'm going to say it. And brother, it ain't going to get much simpler than what it is now. It's going to get worse. The Bible said, in the latter times and told that, and I read this Wednesday night, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I wish I could tell you it's going to be a bed of roses and the petunias is going to bloom tomorrow in the church. But it ain't. You know how do you know that, preacher? Because when you read the fourth chapter of Revelation, he says, after this I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven and a voice said, come up hither. That's when the rapture of the church takes place. And the saints of God are going to be there. And boy, that fourth and fifth chapter, I mean, that's the glory chapter of the first part of Revelation. It gets more glorious as you get further into it in the chapter from 19 on. I said this the other day, I said again, you find the church in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and after chapter 4, you don't find the church mentioned again until the 19th chapter when Jesus brings it back with him. Amen. Some of you got loved ones in the cemetery this morning. Now it's going to be a glorious morning when the Lord himself descends from in the clouds with a shout and the voice of the archangel and dead in Christ is going to rise. Then we're going to be caught up. That's when he's coming to get the church. Amen. Amen. He's not got the church yet. The church is not in heaven. You can tell that, can't you? Nobody has. I don't believe anybody. Now, there's some folks that argue with these cults since Jesus has already come, but there ain't nobody I have in my lifetime ever told me that the church is already in glory. Boy, I'll tell you what, I ain't so sure what I'd do if I thought this was heaven. Amen. I've had a good time, and it's been a good trip, but this ain't heaven. Nothing on this earth compares to what's going to be. But listen, when he takes the church out of here, we also know the Bible teaches us that he's going to bring the church back. He's going to bring the souls of them that's in glory right now back to the body. The body is coming out of the grave and we're going to unite with them and go up into glory and we're going to be with the Lord. And then later he's going to bring us all back when he establishes his kingdom upon this earth. Now, I hope nobody's got any problem with that. If you have, you need to do a little bit more digging. You need to learn a little bit more about your scriptures. But now they're saying, well, I believe that we're going to have some tribulation. I talked to a preacher this week at one time years ago, said to me, and he's an all-millennialist. You know what an all-millennialist is, don't you? He's one of them, you ask about the coming of the Lord, and they'll say, Now, that's my definition of it, but that's not what an all-millennialist. An all-millennialist believes, amen, that, the Lord's coming back, and when he does, he's going, you know, the church is going to go through the tribulation and all that stuff, and then he's going to set up his kingdom. Some of them don't even believe in that, and he's going to destroy the earth. They're just looking for they got it all warped up and twisted up. Amen. The way I believe it and the way I've seen it from the scriptures, and I believe it the way the Bible preaches it and teaches it, it's simple to understand all that. Well, I ain't got to my text yet. I will. Hear me? So they believe that, hey, we're going to go through part of the tribulation. We're going to go through all the tribulation. But the Bible teaches us we're not going through any of the tribulation. Because he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit of God's taken out with the church, that's when all chaos is going to break loose. And that's why I get excited. Because it's just about to break loose. I said a while ago, I've never seen as much turmoil in our country. I've seen them fight when certain ones died. I've seen them when people get killed. And you know, it's been leading up to this for the last few years. Racism and all that stuff coming up. And when one gets killed, now the blacks can kill all the whites they want to, but whites can't kill blacks, and I don't think neither one ought to kill each other. Say amen. Amen. You said you're advocate. No, I'm not. I said Wednesday night I'm not a racist, and I'm not a racist this morning. Hadn't changed my mind since Wednesday. I believe a black man, white man, red man, blue man, Green Man, Polka Dot Man, all, they got a soul that needs to get saved and go to heaven. Amen. And if we had any Martians around here, we'd preach to them too. Amen. Green men, you know. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. When all that chaos breaks open, I said chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Revelation, the church is in heaven. When you get to chapter number 6 and the seals are opened up, the first thing that takes place, the first thing that takes place is the white horse rides out. He's got a bow, but he don't have no arrows, it don't say. And you know what he done? He comes in with great swelling words, and he knows how to stop. Now, the world has got to get to place, and I heard somebody on the news yesterday, they said, by year 2030, everybody's shooting for year 2030. I'm not saying that's when the Lord's coming. Amen, he can come today. But that's what they're saying, that they want to change and get the new agenda. As we preached on last Sunday, the New Deal. The reset, the great reset. They're shooting for that to be. And they say I've been in the Bible a long time, amen. But 2021 is the year for the new reset. That's right around the corner. That's what they say. And they're working on that. Now that's what they say. That ain't what God said. God said the new reset is going to happen, amen, 1,000 years after chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. God said, I'm going to reset her one of these days, boys. I'm going to destroy heaven and earth and build a brand new heaven and earth. He said, I'm going to reset it. Miss Clinton took a reset button to the Russians, wasn't it the Russians? And had the wrong thing on it, and she got embarrassed, and I thought, Lord have mercy, they don't know what a reset is. But God will reset it one of these days, and I'm going to wait on His reset. So what you getting at, preacher? This. All right, if the rapture took place today, if it took place, and maybe it will. Y'all can go ahead and have a service tonight without me. If it happens, and you can sit there on the pew and say, he said it could happen today. You said, preacher, I'm going with you. I certainly hope you do. Amen. But it's a good possibility some of you might not. Can I say that again? Well, I'm going to, whether you want me to or not. There's a good possibility that somebody in this building, if a rapture took place today, that you'd get left behind. God give you strong delusion. And you have to go through a tribulation period. Now, here's why I tell everybody, they thinking what's going to happen is the Lord's going to come and then they're going to have to take on the mark of the beast. Well, let's look at the Bible. Let's look at when that white horse rides out, what's he going to do? I believe he's going to be a man, and they're talking about this, in 2020 that we'll have a world system, a world government. A world monetary system. They're talking about economy and the economics. They're working about this tonight. They're looking for the new economy. Every country is about to fall apart. And they're looking for a superhuman, a supernatural man. They're looking for somebody that's got the answers. And there's going to be a Superman step out onto the stage of time. And the Bible says he's going to come up. Amen. I believe the Antichrist will come out of the very pits of hell, if you will. And he'll be a superhuman riding on the white horse. And he's going to have peace. And don't say nothing about peace in the, well, turn over there. Hold your place in Ephesians. I don't want nobody going out lying on me. You probably will anyhow, but you're going to have to tell them the truth. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, I'll finish all this today. I may have to finish some of it tonight and go home and preach it before I go to bed. But Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened the one of the seals." One of them, the first one. I love preaching. I love this book.
Amen.
Woo! This book talks to me. This book paints pictures for me. Amen. These fellas eating raw onions and cornbread and going to bed and getting visions. I get mine out of the Word of God. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder." One of the four beasts said, "Come and see." I was going to say something about that thunder, but I won't. Verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him." That means he's got authority, got power. "And he went forth" what? "Conquering and to conquer." But he's not forcing people. His little mealy mouth, I believe he'd be a mealy mouth fella. But I think he'll get mean. The stage of time is not at the place where the world's in a turmoil. But I've never seen as much turmoil as we've got in America. So what's going to happen? Somewhere down the road, we're going to have turmoil in the streets of America. And we're getting close to that now. And they're having turmoil in other parts of the world too as well. And it'll be a perfect time for the man of sin to ride out on the white horse and be able to stop it all. And have a problem solving set up for the monetary system, the governmental system, and the religious system. And for 3.5 years, it don't say 3.5 years there. It don't. It don't say it there. But look at verse 3 of chapter 6 of Revelation. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace." Take what? Peace. If he's going to take peace on earth, that means there was some peace. This Antichrist will solve the differences and the problems of all the world. He'll be a magic man. We used to talk about Superman, and the devil's been trying to get us ready for that. All the Spider-Man and all these that can solve all the problems, and a Columbo and a Perry Mason. They've taught us all that stuff. And he's going to step out on the scenes of time, and he's going to solve the problems. And it's going to be, you're going to think it's a utopia. The post-millennials will have a good time with that. They look for perfect peace. And it's going to look like perfect peace on the earth. You hadn't seen that, have you? But I believe we have some turmoil before then. Now, I believe that the church is going out before the white horse rides out. More than what I've read from the Word of God. I'm not trying to twist the Scriptures nor warp the Scriptures. But when this red horse rides out and takes peace from the earth, and he said, "And that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." Everybody said, "Well, we're going to have the mark of the beast." And this serum that they've got fixed up called vaccination, they're going to the vaccine. They say that's a mark of the beast. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe it, I believe it's a forerunner of it. I believe it's trying to get everybody to accept the fact that it's coming where you can't buy or sell. That won't happen till you get in the portion of the half of the tribulation. It's going to have to get rough, and this red horse ride out, and it starts getting rough, especially when the black horse rides out and the pale horse rides out. You got famine and death. And that's when, in the last half of the tribulation, chapter 14 of Revelation goes into play. I'm not into prophecy. I am again today, but I'm not a prophet. Matter of fact, there ain't no prophets.
Right, yeah.
The prophet has come.
That's right.
He's in glory. The prophet of all prophets. We're not in the days of prophets. Somebody said, "I'm a prophet." Amen. I don't believe it. They tell me that. It runs off like water on a duck's back. They may have something to say. I listen to them. But we're not in the days of the prophets. The days of the prophets are gone. We're in the days of the church. The prophets were from Genesis on up till where? Huh? That's what I thought you was going to say. And I'm going to say no. The prophets were from Genesis till Christ rose from the grave. Because he was the prophet of all prophets. And he surpasses all that. And all the prophecy that was going on in the Old Testament and in the New, he prophesied his coming, he prophesied what was going on, and he even prophesied the church, he even prophesied, and they couldn't see it. He told the end from the beginning when he is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Read the Old Testament prophets. And some of his prophecies have not come true yet. I said, yet. They will. That's the count of, and the way that you know where a prophet's real is his prophecies come true. Now I can lay down my bed tonight and put everything kind of together and get up tomorrow and tell you as a prophet of God, God said this, but I've got to find it from the Word of God. See, God's not speaking to men now. I mean, I'm not looking for a Moroni. Now, some of y'all don't know who Moroni was. I was in Sunday school this morning, and that's the Mormonism. And Moroni came and got everything all stirred up and started. And, you know, I'm not an Ellen G. White and got in a trance and saw thou shalt honor the Sabbath or keep the Sabbath day. Amen. Make it holy. I didn't see that. I read it in the Word of God. But she had a vision. That's why they put that whole Seventh-day Adventism on that one law. Where do you get your information? I get it from the Word of God. And I believe the church, according to what I read out of the Word of God, is going to go out of here. And then there's going to be a false peace. And you got a false peace? It ain't going to be no such thing as a mark of the beast. That's not going to happen until later in the tribulation. Study your Bible. All this stuff just lays out. And you said, oh, but that's when the church is going to go out in the mid the tribulation. That's where they get some of that, I guess. But we're not going to see that. Amen. I'm not worrying about tomorrow. Because I know who holds it.
That's right.
Now going back to Ephesians. I want you to apply over what I've done said in this. Let me tell you where you need to be today. You don't need to be distraught and discouraged and upset and despondent and sitting in the corner chewing your fingernails off and taking Maalox and trying to go to sleep with sleeping pills and amen. You don't have to find your yoga class to get in to meditate on. Just lay down tonight and sleep like a baby does. Not worrying about tomorrow. When I read in Ephesians chapter number 6 verse 10, finally my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he tells us something. You see, he's going to tell us in verse number 12 that there is an unseen enemy. Now if you knew who the enemy was and where the enemy was at today you wouldn't sleep tonight. If you knew how bad our country's in, if you knew how bad the church is in, if you knew how bad your loved ones were in, and I'm talking about going to hell and so forth, I want you to know if you knew all that like you ought to know it, you wouldn't sleep tonight.
Amen.
Neither would I. There's an unseen enemy. I'm not going to worry about the unseen enemy because I'm going to trust the unseen hand. That Troy sings. He's the one that's going to take care and guide my path. Now I want to look at this. I'll come back to this, I guess, tonight and finish up and go with this in verse number 10 and 11. I'm going to skip them for right now. Not because I want to, but because I don't think you've got the time. I have, but you ain't. You know how you know? How I know? You're Baptist. Some of you already getting fidgety. Verse 12 said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You know what that means? We're not fighting each other. Flesh and blood I can see. Flesh and blood I can put my hands on. Flesh and blood I can have a confrontation. And flesh and blood I can poke them in the nose. I shouldn't. But I could. You with me? Paul said, "You're not fighting that." But he said, "But against principalities." Can somebody describe me what color hair a principality's got? Can somebody tell me what kind of philosophy a principality has? Can you describe to me it's something that I can see and tangible that I can look at? And can you describe to me what a principality is? Neither can I. You're fighting something today that you don't know what the enemy is. If you don't know the enemy, it's hard to outdo them. Secondly, he said, "But against principalities, against powers." When you're talking about powers, we're talking about strength. We're talking about magnitude. We're talking about something that's strong. We're talking about something that's like a mountain that can't be moved. We're talking about something that it's not a pushover. You understand? Saints, that's where the church is today, and that's where we as believers are. Now, if you read this thing, Paul said he was doing this now in his day, but he talked about it's going to get a little worse down there, but he goes on to say, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, I'm beginning to understand a little bit about who is the rulers of the darkness. That's the underworld. That means the satanic forces. That means the devil himself. I'm no match for Satan. It's been a few times I got so full of God, I thought, brother, I could whoop 15 devils. And brother, I couldn't touch one. Understand? But I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus and through His precious blood. And the Apostle Paul is saying to us right here, he's saying, you better get this in your mind, you better get it fixed. You're not fighting brothers and sisters or family and foe. You're fighting principalities and powers. You're fighting against the rulers of darkness, the spirit world of this world. And then he goes on to say, against spiritual wickedness in high places. People that's in authority lifted up high. If our nation is not fighting that today, I've missed the mark somewhere. You with me? We're fighting the spiritual wickedness. When they come out and say you can't have a Bible, you can't pray, you can't have church, you shouldn't meet here, you shouldn't do that. And I think you're going to find out down the road why we had a pandemic. I think you're going to find that out down the road. Some of you already got wise to it. Amen. You hear more that told the church couldn't have but five people? They said, but you know what? You can keep Walmart and them places open, and there's more people there than there are at church. All right. It said in verse 12, told us who our enemy is, and I ain't even scratched. I'm gonna reveal some more of that. Not right now. But verse 13 said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Paul said, get ready for it. Even in his day, get ready for it. And the first thing you do is put on the whole armor of God. And I see my time is just about done, but I'm going to get one of these points. I couldn't eat a good dinner today. And I'm hungry. Verse 14 said, stand. Well, let's go up there and see what it says in verse 13, in evil. And having done all. I mean, after you've done everything you can, after you've done everything that you know, after you prayed all you can pray, after you've done laid out everything that you could do, and it still looks, isn't that where we are in this world right now? I don't know anything else I could do. If I did, I'd do it today. But after you stood, been standing, and after you'd stood, do something else, just stand there for. And he said, having your loins girt about with truth. Reckon why he put that in first. If you don't have truth, and you don't know the truth, you can't stand for anything. He said, having your loins girt. You know your loins? That's the loins right here, your waist power. That's your strength of every man and woman. I want your strength to be truth. You have to know what's right. You have to know what's wrong. You have to know. You have to know. You have to know. You can't take somebody's word for it. You've got to take the word. What is truth? Pilate said. Or it might have been, I guess it's Pilate, wasn't it? Well, the other one, I think it's Pilate. What is truth? You know what the answer was? John 17:17. Thy word is truth. You know what Jesus said in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is truth. That means this morning that I got to go by what the word of God says. And I guard myself, number one, with truth. Don't listen to everything that comes through. Said wrong. Don't listen to every preacher that's had a vision. Don't listen to every preacher that says they're a prophet. Don't listen to every preacher that said they're a preacher. Don't listen to every preacher that said they're of God. There's more out there that's not for God than there are. You got to hear the truth. Now, and this is bad, and here's where we are. Timothy, Paul straightened that out. He said, there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. People don't want to hear the truth. We're there today. We're not going to get there. We're already there. So he says, put on, and this, you know, loin your gird, I mean, gird your loins with truth. And I'll stop on the rest of it, but it's got to start with the truth. I want the truth. When they go to the court of law, even in the court of law, our law system's in bad shape today, and you know that. The justice system is all mistraught and gone. Matter of fact, some of them justice systems is in verse 12. Rulers of darkness and all that. And the justice system, it's hard to get justice on a lot of things today in this country. But God knows how to get. But the Bible teaches us today that we are to follow the truth, and the truth will set us free. I want you to know the Lord's given us the Word of God, and it's real. And we abide in the Word of God. I just keep preaching on this, but I'm not going to quit right there. But he said, put on the whole armor of God. Now some of you may have your loins girded with truth, and that may be as far as you've gone. You're out here slinging at the devil with no armor on, breastplate of righteousness, nor the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation. Amen. You're like a primitive man standing out with nothing on but his loins covered, trying to kill a devil. Somebody said something to me this week, and I said, well, I'm looking for a Moses to get me out of Egypt. Yeah. And a David will come through with a sword and cut the giant's head off. Amen. What I need. And I'm trusting him. It's Jesus. Amen. I hope this has helped you. Listen, look to the Word of God. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today God will straighten your heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm just really getting into the heat of trying to preach, but anyhow, we'll quit.